Romans chapter 1. We are at verse 31. Without understanding, we saw last week that this includes many things: atheistic thoughts, mocking at sin, perversion, self-confidence, madness, derangement, lunacy, reckless behavior, dishonesty, on and on it goes. Without understanding also includes an ignorance of the sinful nature of man. Again, this without understanding is something different than our nature, what we are by nature. We're without understanding in some degree, but this is something else. And again, it includes an ignorance of the nature of man. The reason that some people believe that you don't need those who enforce law is because they believe that man is basically good. Man will behave. And that's based on an ignorance of man's sinful nature. Has its roots, of course, in humanism. Also includes an ignorance of Satan's devices, how the devil works, an ignorance of sin, how sin works, the consequences of sin. And we see again that they're filled with out understanding. So if you don't have understanding, and again, this is the result of a reprobate mind, problems are misidentified. You watch the news and listen to people, and more often than not, problems are misidentified. They focus on the wrong things because they don't have understanding to understand what the problem is. If problems are misidentified, then solutions are inaccurate as well. And that's why so often the solution creates a greater problem. The solution or the cure is worse than the problem. And that happens a lot of times. And so included in this without understanding, they have their foundation in the philosophies of humanism, secularism, and they're all tied to humanism. They're just different branches, pluralism, atheism. And what they all do is they simply blur or do away with God-ordained lines. God's lines are very well defined, very easy to see. But humanism and secularism and the like, they begin to blur those lines. And then as you advance through generations, the lines just get more and more blurred. Started out as a thick black line, and now it's just a shadow. And that's what is happening in our society. The lines are blurred. The lines are done away with. Lines between male and female, done away with. lines between husbands and wives, lines of morality and decency just kind of fade away. And that's the result of without understanding. And what you have is a society that is drowning in dysfunction. You have a society where dysfunction is more the norm than a sane society. It's more normal. It's more common to be dysfunctional. A dysfunctional family is really the normal thing now. I define dysfunctional, contrary to God's word, it's dysfunctional. And that's the common thing. So therefore, that line, when it becomes the common thing, that line is just even more and more and more blurred. So to be without understanding is to be without conscience. The Bible has a lot to say about conscience. The word occurs 31 times in the New Testament. It's used both positively and negatively. Conscience. To be without understanding affects the conscience. The conscience is the faculty of judging one's own conduct with reference to a standard of right. We are born with a conscience. We are born with it. It is designed to protect us. But of course, it becomes corrupt, and therefore it becomes your enemy. But it's the faculty by which we judge. And again, if according to a standard of right, we just know this is right, this is wrong. Conscience tells us that. When one is without conscience, they no longer discern between right and wrong. It is the process of thought that makes a distinction between that which is moral and that which is immoral. It commends the moral and condemns the immoral. It is a part of us that bears witness with God's law. I mean, why do people do something that is wrong and they try to hide it? It's because they know conscience. Conscience tells them this is wrong. Okay, we're in a day where many things are no longer hidden. They're flaunted. Why is that? Well, it's because conscience is gone. Conscience is affected by this without understanding. Notice in Romans 2, verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. This is just the natural man. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. Notice Romans 9, verse 1. Romans 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now there's a conscience affected by the spiritual. my conscience also bearing me witness. So our conscience, it can make you feel guilty when you do something wrong. You feel guilty. That's conscience. That's a God-given thing. That's a good thing. But, again, as in all the creation, it is affected by sin. And when God gives a people over to their own mind, to their own ways, conscience becomes more and more affected. Where it no longer bears witness, where a person is without the witness of God. We've said many times, you can sit down with somebody and you want to explain to them why what they're doing is wrong, and people will say, well, I don't feel that it's wrong. If it was wrong, wouldn't the Lord cause me to know it was wrong and feel it's wrong? And I mean, I'm talking about things that are very plain in the Word of God. Take adultery. Well, I don't. I just don't feel guilty about sleeping around. I just don't feel condemned about that. Well, that's because your conscience is not what it should be. I mean, that's a sad testimony. They say that to prove that what they're doing is not wrong, but really, it proves just the opposite. It proves that they're in worse shape than you thought. Their conscience, there's no witness of God there. Conscience is the moral faculty, the faculty of conviction or convincing of wrong. You go back even before you and I were saved. And there were times when you did wrong and you were convicted of it. That's conscience. That's conscience. But people today, many times, will do what's wrong. There's no conviction whatsoever. And this is carried over into churches as well. A lack of feeling a conviction, a convincing of wrong. That's how I'm using the word conviction here. Notice in John chapter 8, we have the account of the adulterous woman, and you remember they were going to stone her, and the Lord wrote on the ground, and then in verse 9, this is unsaved individuals, and they which heard it, what Christ wrote on the ground, they heard. Being convicted by their own conscience. Being convicted by their own conscience. Went out one by one, but they were convicted by their conscience. So to be without understanding is to be without conscience, which means to be without conviction of wrong. These are the people who say, well, who's to say what's right and what is wrong? It is the faculty of remorse and shame. Remorse and shame for wrongdoing. So to be without conscience is to be without remorse. To be without shame. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15, read the exact same words in chapter 8, verse 12. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. They lost their conscience, which, of course, is going to result in the judgment of God. So conscience is very important. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. But when man is turned over to himself, conscience is greatly affected. The ability to discern between right and wrong. How many times you've heard parents say, well, they know better, speaking of their children, they know better. Do you know that for sure? You can say, I taught them better than that. That you can say as a fact, if you have. But you cannot say with absolute certainty, they know better. You don't know that. They may not. They may have gotten to the state where their conscience no longer works. So they don't know better. Yes, you taught them better. And they may know better. I'm not saying they don't. What I'm saying is really think about that before you say that. They may not. They may not. Which makes the situation worse than you think it is. It's the ability to feel and to be moved by a sense of wrong. You take a child. They do something wrong. They, just a little child. And they come to you and they apologize. You don't know anything about it. Why did they do that? Because their conscience. They have felt a sense of wrong. Now you take the child who just does wrong right in front of you. Doesn't feel any remorse whatsoever. There's a difference in their conscience. Again, conscience is a gift of God. So it's the ability to feel and to be moved by a sense of wrong. If you're without conscience, then that is greatly diminished or absent altogether. And that's the society that we live in. You know, you look at the behavior of people and people say, what are they thinking? Well, they're not. They have a reprobate mind. They don't have the ability to reason. This isn't an excuse. It's just explaining their behavior. This to be without conscience is further explained. Notice Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 19. Well, let's go back. Verse 17. We read of the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, there's some very serious words there. Darkened, alienated, ignorance, blindness. But notice, who being past feeling. That's conscience. Who being past feeling. This is something that goes beyond just apathy. Who being past feeling. The who describes those that we read of in verse 18. Who being past feeling. This is where this leads to. The understanding being darkened, the being alienated from the life of God, ignorance, blindness. What it results in eventually is being past feeling. That is, they become so hardened in sin that their emotion toward it, as far as feeling guilty, is dead. They're past feeling. They're past feeling. A people or society left to themselves will eventually get to past feeling. It's almost like they don't have a soul. They do, of course. But it's like there's nobody home who being past feeling. And people left to themselves, their conscience is negatively affected, and the result is past feeling. Past feeling. Notice in 2 Corinthians, the conscience can become weakened. Again, this is true in unsaved and saved. 2 Corinthians 8, and I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 8, and verse 7. 1 Corinthians 8. Verse 7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat, has a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Their conscience is weak and defiled. Now, this person has not necessarily gotten to past feeling, but the conscience is weak. We need to keep an eye on that in our own lives. In verse 10, for if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? That is, his conscience being weak, he's encouraged to do what is wrong. And verse 12, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. So what is a weak conscience? Well, it would be, again, it's not as bad as past feeling, but it is a conscience not strong enough to distinguish accurately or clearly. And again, this is due to the process of sin. There is also the defiled conscience. Notice in Titus Chapter 1, Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled or polluted. This can happen through the process of secularization. And again, secularization is a process. You just do not wake up one morning secular. It's a process, secularization. And it gradually weakens the conscience. There is also the evil conscience. Notice in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There is the seared conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Speaking lies, you go up to verse 1 and you see these depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Their conscience is cauterized. It's sealed. Nothing gets in. Again, it kind of goes back to past feeling. Past feeling. So this, without understanding, leads to without conscience. Conscience can become weak, defiled. Eventually, as the process goes on, it becomes past feeling. And this, of course, leads to many problems. Notice in Isaiah chapter 42, Isaiah 42, verse 25. Therefore he hath poured upon them the fury of his anger, God's judgment, and the strength of battle, and hath set him on fire round about. And notice what it says. Yet he knew not. God's judgment is right before them. God's judgment is upon them. And they don't even realize it. And it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Conscience has been affected. Acts 28, verse 27. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Again, don't confuse me with the facts. I've already made up my mind. And understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Again, they just become more and more hardened. They become uncaring. They become unfeeling concerning wrong, concerning the consequences of wrong. And you can watch an individual go through this. You can watch an individual who's been given over to a reprobate mind. And it's sad, but you take a whole society. When this becomes the common thing in society, it's very serious. And this is not something that man can fix. I mean, how does man, as far as I know, there's not a doctor for your conscience. How do you fix that? Only God can. Only God can fix that. Will he? Well, here in Romans 1, he's already given him over. Could he? Yes. Will he? Probably not. And again, it's being filled with, full of, without understanding. So much so that it is commonplace. So much so that it becomes an epidemic. You can tell people who have a conscience. You get a group of people together and you start telling them about the Lord. And perhaps everybody in the group begins to mock and to make fun and to commit abomination, and they don't feel the least bit guilty or condemned. All of a sudden, one person in the group gets quiet. They stop acting like that. Conscience is working. I believe that. I'm not saying necessarily that the Spirit of God is dealing with them in order to save them, but they have a conscience and they become silent because they feel guilty. They feel bad. When a person loses that feeling of guilt, and the ability to feel bad for a behavior, they are in serious, serious trouble. They are a danger. They are a danger. God help our society. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the plainness of your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us more and more and more understanding every day of what your word says. Cause us, Lord, to receive it into our hearts, and that will change our lives. We do pray for those today that may not be saved, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, open their hearts to salvation. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.